Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
To come into consciousness of the moon. Thank you for joining me this evening at Soul Purpose Healing. This is June 26, 2022. And if you add up those numbers, we are in the number 11. And I always feel the number 11 is a reminder that we have angels and messengers everywhere, everywhere. They're everywhere. And especially when you see 11-11, that means they're talking to you. So the angels are talking to us tonight about recycling the trash into moon cycle consciousness. We've heard a lot this week about what the earthly Supreme Court has said, but we want to hear now from the heavenly Supreme Court. Because the earthly Supreme Court in the United States is full of people with mental problems, in my opinion. And it's full of people who have emotions and they're political and so many human earthly characteristics about the earthly Supreme Court. So whatever happens on this level with the Supreme Court, we have to always translate it, recycle it, measure it, digest it, and then either spit it out or swallow it and absorb the nutrients from whatever happens. So tonight we're going to really analyze some of the thoughts that have been thrown out there and then recycle the garbage into moon cycle consciousness, especially when it comes to female reproductive systems or your first and your second chakra. We want to really look into the energy that the female carries and even some men. We won't leave the men out at all. We want the men to be participating and fully awake and alert about their feminine energy as much as we want women, especially, to be more aware and alert about the choices that we still have to be sovereign, to be the goddesses we came to be, and especially to be more conscious of your soul journey on this earth. What is your purpose on this earth? Some women seem to think their purpose is to have lots of sex and then make a decision to end any process that begins because of their lots of sex that they go through. So we want to go into solutions for that thought process that says this: you have a right, you have a constitutional right to end a divine process that may start in the body, beginning the life process. And you still have choices. Whether you have a right is another question or not. There was a quote this week that one of the justices of the earthly Supreme Court, let's just keep them on the level that they are, said about young women will come of age with fewer rights than their mothers and grandmothers. Well, I'm a grandmother right now, and I have a granddaughter. And that child, my granddaughter, has just as many rights as I have. I don't know what she's talking about. It's like it sounds like BS or garbage to me or trashed in my conscious mind. Because my granddaughter still has sovereign rights that the Supreme Court of the heavens, earth, and creator, cosmic energy has given all of us. And the choices are still there, but you might have to drive to another state to make choices if you don't like the process that starts in your body when you're having sex unconsciously. So that's why we want to bring some solutions to this garbage thinking that we've heard all week long from the media, from the earthly Supreme Court. We want to just bring it into the level that it is, garbage, and then recycle it. Let's just keep a positive spin on this whole thing, this whole drama that's been playing out all week, recycling the garbage into moon cycle consciousness. Every woman can move into this consciousness and have more control over her body. And then she has more choices about what to do about any result of that. So I want to introduce you to Jenny Joseph. She's my favorite midwife in the Orlando area. She's a friend and an associate of mine. An amazing woman. She was born in the UK, moved to the United States, had many, many challenges to overcome, but she started what is now called the Common Sense Childbirth Center. And she's my favorite go-to person to understand what women go through, especially women of color, because she has done a lot of teachings and been participating in what's called the National Perinatal Task Force to bring out the discrepancies and what she calls the unfairness in many ways of the whole medical system. So let me introduce you to Jenny Joseph. I actually have a live video of her, not a live video, well, sort of. It's a YouTube video that I want to bring in for you to enjoy. Let's see, if there's Jenny. If you're in Facebook, you can see her beautiful face and her long locks. She's just an angel midwife. And she's going to talk about the JJ way, which is Jenny Joseph's birthing center. And I believe this is the solution for our time. We don't have to, but we can, with our creative minds, develop more birthing centers for women who are in reproductive age to support them on their journey when they have had sex, out of control, whatever, planned sex, whatever, and the process begins of a new life in their body. We want to help these women go forward choosing to bring forth new life. And JJ Way, she's going to show us the JJ Way. So everybody listen up.
Hi, I'm Jenny Joseph. I want to talk about how a young birthing parent energizes herself optimally in the midst of what we're all dealing with, which is this horrendous COVID-19 pandemic, but also our ongoing pandemic, in my opinion, the pandemic of racism, classism, sexism, power dynamics. I feel like we already have a burden as Black people, people of color, to just find our way to optimize our lives and manage through so much adversity. And yet there's so many areas where we do have power, where we have joy, and where we are on the path to liberation. During pregnancy, birth, and postpartum, however, that's not so easy to find. That's not a very typical place where you can feel strong and empowered just because of the forces that come against us. So I want to talk a little bit about some ways to find more power, more joy, more optimism, to find a way to handle and come through and out the other end thriving. It's possible, but you have to be intentional. And so what we know is that in the absence of support, that is very difficult to do. So if you find yourself in that situation where you don't have good support, there's never a time when it's too early to start looking for that and putting that in place for yourself. So I want to encourage you to make that top of your list. If you don't have support, let's start figuring out how to build that support. If you do have support, let's figure out how to work with your support, have them understand your needs, and have them really come through for you to help you get through your experience, your pregnancy, your birth, and your postpartum sound, whole, healthy, and thriving. So I'm a midwife, and I have a model of care. I call it the JJ Way, and it's really pretty simple. The JJ Way addresses pregnancy and birth from another angle. It is a midwifery model of care. I'm a midwife, but it's also a way to make sure we stay inside a framework that always, always centers mama, baby, family. In other words, it's not a midwife-centric model or a doula-centric model or a doctor-centric model. It's not about the provider getting what they need or want. It's about the mama baby, the mama baby family as a unit getting what they want. The reason I came up with this model was because what I observed in America, I've been in the United States for 31 years at this point. I came to Orlando in 1989, moved here from England, and have been here ever since. But what I've noticed about America is how hard it is to protect yourself from what we call weathering, the wearing down, the microaggressions, the things that chip away at your spirit, at your soul, at your being, and even at your body. So all of these things that happen to women during pregnancy, birth, and postpartum, I call those attacks or those subtle ways of being maternal toxicity, meaning it's toxic to the mama baby. So inside of maternotoxic zones or areas, or even just environments where suddenly people are reacting to you because of who you are, not necessarily for any other reason, because of the color of your skin or your ethnicity or your language or whatever it is that in their view has to be other, that reaction to you is toxic. And it's toxic, especially when you're pregnant or parenting. So the maternal toxicity is what I try to mitigate by my program, the JJ Way. So there are four main cornerstones of that program. The first one is access. The second one is connection. The third one is knowledge. And the fourth is empowerment. And what we found over many years of working this way is that we've been able to change outcomes, improve birth outcomes. Women who go through our program have full-term babies, have full birth weight babies, 7 pounds, 8 pound weight babies, are breastfeeding successfully, are not as depressed or overwhelmed in the postpartum, get back into the groove very quickly and raise their family. The impact of working with people in this way has had us for decades now be able to prove that what we're doing is making a difference. Black women are prone, supposedly, to premature babies, low birth weight babies, babies lost within the first year of life, infant mortality, and then also for their own health, they have poor outcomes as mothers. We call that maternal morbidity, or they may even die during the process of childbirth and delivery, and that's called maternal mortality. All of that has to stop, and we've proven that it can stop. So how can you be resilient yourself? How can you manage your way through your pregnancy, birth, and postpartum? So let me apply these cornerstones and let's talk about how, if you have access, you will do better. So access to what? Well, access to safety, access to quality, and access to a workforce, a maternity workforce, who looks like you, who understands you, who immediately doesn't have to be you don't have to explain yourself, because they know, just they deeply understand, because they have similar or the same lived experiences as you. If you can find access to that during your pregnancy, you are going to have a safer run, you're going to have a lot more support and power, which is going to be protective for you, whether it's a COVID-19 pandemic that you are dealing with, or whether it's a racism pandemic, or whether it's a income issue, whether it's an insurance issue, it doesn't matter what your issue is. If you have access to providers who understand that, who are going to keep you safe, are going to provide that quality, and are going to make sure that you get the best outcome possible for your pregnancy, that's number one. So if you don't have that access, look around. Is there any chance that you might be able to change who you see as a provider? Or you might be able to engage or the support of a doula, childbirth educator, lactation educator, midwife, OBGYN, that is going to be more able to understand your needs just because. The second cornerstone is the one which is connection. Because once you have access to someone and something like that, or some clinic or a doctor's office like that, now you want to connect with those people, because as a team, you all are going to work together to get to the other side. So the connections are key. You have to feel comfortable. You have to know that when you meet someone who's helping you through this pregnancy experience, they are going to look you in the eye. If they're not, they're not connected. If they're not connected, you're not safe. Look for those experiences where you feel the strong connection, where you feel safe in those connections, and where you can then be empowered to ask your questions and know that you can trust the answers. The third one, knowledge. The knowledge that we talk about during pregnancy and birth is not just childbirth education classes, although I recommend those highly, but rather knowing your own body and knowing what you need, and then sharing that knowledge. And again, you need to share that with people who care about that information. And in turn, you can then ask questions and gain knowledge about how they think, what they think, what concerns them about your case or not, and how are they going to help you. So there's an exchange of knowledge, a fair exchange of knowledge. Your knowledge and their knowledge together bring forth the number four component, which is empowerment. Empowerment for you and empowerment for them. There's always a stronger, healthier, more ethical relationship when both parties are empowered. That makes sense? So if you think about it, this is a lot to put on yourself. Like, look at this work I just outlined. You've got to find access. You've got to find connections. You've got to share your knowledge. You've got to, you know, all of these things that you have to, have to, have to, have to. Please don't take it that way. You don't have to. But if you do, you're going to see the difference. You're going to feel the difference. You're going to experience the difference. And you're going to do well through your pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. So what I said in the beginning, if you recall, was if you don't have support, get support. Because your supporters now, you can help and encourage them to help you through these steps. Let's review. Access, connection, knowledge, empowerment. Work with your supporters to have them understand how you need access, how you need connection, how you need the knowledge, how you need the support to get to the empowerment. That gives people tangible things to do, and they then step into that role with relish because everybody wants to know how to do or what to do and what can I do. They'll ask you, but if you haven't got an answer, they'll be like, oh, okay, she's fine. We know sometimes that you're not fine. So as hard as it is, work on figuring out how to speak up, how to share authentically with what's going on with you, sometimes how to be vulnerable, but with people that you trust, you can do it. So, again, your resources need to be there. If they're not, get in action. Try to find your resources right now. During COVID, we've moved to telehealth. We've been using a lot more phone and video interaction than we ever did before. And we found that that's actually quite helpful because now you can reach people easier. You don't have to travel to get to talk to a provider, to talk to a supporter, to talk to a family member. You can pick up the phone. You can do your Zoom call or your FaceTime call. You can make a way where there previously may have seemed like there wasn't a way. Telehealth can work through the pregnancy. Telehealth can for sure work during labor and delivery. And telehealth can be a lifeline in the postpartum. So think about that. What type of communication can you get with which type of supporter, how it's going to work, plan ahead, and let go. You can do this. You have everything you need. You were designed to do this. And with good support, you will thrive.
All right. That was Jenny Joseph, a friend and a colleague and a sister. Any questions or comments, feel free to post them on Facebook. We've already had Zelda Robinson posting and another Facebook user with no face. So greetings, beloved. Thank you. And we're all about solutions tonight. The problem, again, is the garbage. It smells. It stinks. But we're going to recycle it tonight because there's a lot of things we could look at, say, baby and bathwater. The bathwater is filthy, but we want to hold on to the baby if there's any possibility. But garbage, when it gets recycled, it smells, right? When you're recycling, it starts to smell. But then it changes. It transforms into something else, something that can be used to grow new plants, new flowers, new vegetables. So we're recycling to bring in the new thought and consciousness of tracking your moon, or in other words, women tracking their menstrual cycle. When you're in reproductive age, you have menstrual cycles. And maybe some of our callers will call in and give their experience on this, tracking their cycles in terms of when they're fertile, by their moon cycles. Everyone may be different. So we're all about solutions. That's just one solution. And we have another, Atlanta Birth Center tour, just so you can start thinking about this solution of birthing centers. We no longer want to think about killing or stopping. I want to call it stopping the divine process. Sex brings on a baby sometimes, or the beginning of a construction of new life in the mother's womb. Some women decide they don't want to continue that process for 9 months. No shame, no judgment. It's what we do. We make choices in life like that. It's okay. Don't let it. I'm not putting any shame on anybody. If they have decided in their lifetime, many of us have, to stop that process. Once we get notified, we have something growing in us, and the fear kicks in, the worry, the doubt, I can't take care of this life, all the thought processes and the emotions that are connected to that information, that announcement that, oh, you have someone or something growing inside of you, it's perfectly understandable that you decide you do not want to continue that process. But we're here to offer you some moon consciousness where you can really thrive on this new process. You can grow on this new process. There are so many reasons to continue the process. I've had two processes, birthing experiences, nothing but joy for me. I had a husband there with me. So that makes a difference for a lot of women. What if there's no husband? What if the father has gone south? Here's what Jenny Joseph is so good at, giving hope and optimism anyway, because her birthing center is so wonderful, full of everything she just talked about. She's an angel on earth. We had a meeting with her during my doula training, and I realized how much work she was doing. I pulled out of my purse some lavender oil, and I said, listen, you need this. You take this lavender and run with it, because you're doing too much. You're doing a whole lot more than I'm doing. I may have trouble sleeping sometimes, but what she is building is a kingdom of birth center. And that's what we want to talk about tonight, is what is your role in building this new kingdom in this moon consciousness, helping women have access, helping women have connect, and men too. Let's not leave men. You're in on this, whether you like it or not, because we're all connected in this journey, human soul journey. So having access, having connections, having the knowledge and empowerment. Those are her four suggestions we're going to work with tonight. And I think we're all very smart that we can do this. We're all brilliant, in fact. We're brilliant. We all have great minds. So I'm watching for Naima Latif if she has wants to do commercials. But in the meantime, the Atlanta Birth Center is a beautiful representation of what we can create in our communities. So I want to bring in the Atlanta, let's see, stop screen, share screen with Atlanta Birth Center. Where are you? There you are. Okay, we're going to share the Atlanta Birth Center just to motivate you to start creating awesome things like...
Hello, and welcome to Atlanta Birth Center. My name is Amanda, and I'm the office manager and client care coordinator here. We are so excited to share our space with you here today and want you to get a feel for who we are and what we do, even though you can't be here with us in person. Unfortunately, we aren't able to use our waiting room at this time, and we're asking for everyone to wait at our door so that we can check your temperature before you enter. We are also being extremely careful about the number and type of visitors that we have in our facility. We are not having children at this time, and there's only one visitor allowed for certain appointment types. We're also asking that everyone wear their face coverings during this time to help keep everyone safe. Additionally, I'd love to introduce you to our amazing client care coordinators. They are here to give you an exceptional experience from the moment that you walk through our doors.
Hi, I'm Kira.
Hi guys, I'm Sierra.
We are the voices on the other side of the phone.
And we look forward to meeting you in person soon.
Welcome to the Birth Center. I'm Nkechi, one of the midwives here, and you're sitting with me in one of our lovely exam rooms. as you look around and take stock of what's going on here, you'll notice that we've been very intentional with our decor, trying to create a space that's inviting, warm, comforting. As a birth center client, you'll notice that we don't use any of those nasty paper gowns here, none of those disintegrating paper drapes. We provide you with robes, cloth drapes, towels, essentially things to make you feel like a whole person and not a walking uterus. And as we move out of this room into the birth center space proper, one thing that you'll also notice as you walk down the hall coming from the front desk is that there are lots of different doors. Behind those doors, we have a plethora of different integrative providers. We've got a naturopathic doctor. We've got a chiropractor. We've got lactation consultants, massage therapists, acupuncturists, a whole birth and service group. We've got psychotherapists, our very own ABC perinatal social workers. And if that's not enough for you, we've even got a lovely community referral wall that has information and flyers, cards with the contact info for lots of different providers if we can't find someone for you here in our suite proper. So if you look here, you see this lovely wall here. We've got everything from doulas, birth photographers, placenta encapsulators, fitness programs, anything that you can think of, we've probably got here on this wall. And if it's not on this wall, we can find it for you. Before COVID hit, this used to be a space for you all to hang out and just be. Unfortunately, now we try not to have anyone wait here because we're trying to keep you all safe. And if you follow me into this space, you'll see our lovely phlebotomist, Jaquel.
Hi, I'm Jaquel. I'm a midwife assistant. This is normally where I am, but I'm also a liaison between the front desk and the clinic side, so I help take your temperatures, draw your blood, and get any lab orders in. And I'm also an integral part of keeping us safe during COVID by cleaning over the room and keeping everything clean.
And FYI, whenever you come in here, you will not see my lovely smile. We will all be wearing masks just for the cameras. And please know that we wipe down and keep everything sanitized for you all. So I hope you enjoyed that. We can't wait to see you guys.
Hi, I'm Sandy Angotti. I'm one of the certified nurse midwives here at Atlanta Birth Center. I'm going to take you this way on a little trip up the ramp, which takes us to the entrance to the birth center side of our facility. So when you come in and labor, you don't have to park in the parking garage. You get to just park on the ramp. In fact, a lot of times partners and family members will just drop a laboring patient off right at the door so you don't have to walk anywhere. When you come in and labor, a midwife will be waiting for you and she will let you in. And this takes us into our family waiting room. When we first opened, we decided on some themes for each of our birth suites, just to kind of tell you the aesthetic and the feel of the different rooms. So we have water room, we have earth, and we have fire. And this family waiting room, the energy and the symbolism in here is that of air. During COVID, we don't really have family members waiting around in here. But during non-COVID times, this would be a place where people, you know, grandparents or people might be hanging out. And then this is where we enter into the birth center. And I'm going to show you our kitchen. Kitchen doesn't have a theme. The kitchen theme is eating and drinking. You'll see here that we have coffee and tea. We have a microwave and a little toaster oven. We have some basic snacks for people, filtered water, the delicious crunchy ice chips. And although each birth suite has a refrigerator in it, we also have a larger refrigerator in here in case you order something like a pizza that needs a bigger refrigerator to fit in.
Hi, Atlanta Birth Center families. I'm Vanessa. I'm one of the full-time midwives. This is our nurse's station. So if we are not in your birth room, labor room, then we can typically be found, the midwives and the nurses, here at our nurse's station. So we may be doing charting or Just kind of keeping a close ear out, listening if you're laboring and just doing your thing. I love it because the rooms are pretty soundproof, but I can hear just enough that sometimes if the mom starts pushing, I can kind of hear that change. And even if I was in there 5 minutes ago, that's a good cue for me to come on back in and check on you. So if you follow this way, once you come into the birth center, this is our triage room. So this will typically be your first stop when you come to the birth center. We use this room either sometimes if moms call with concerns like, I think my water might be broken, but I can't tell. I don't think I'm in labor, or decreased fetal movement. We may have you meet the midwives here at the birth center, and then we have a external fetal monitor here. We can monitor your baby and just kind of check everything out and make a game plan. You know, no, your water isn't broken, or oh great, now baby's moving a ton and everything looks great. If you come in labor, this is often going to be your first stop for us to either kind of figure out if something's still early, and maybe we work on some positioning and some comfort measures, hydration, things like that, and then have you go back home to labor for a little bit longer, or things are pretty active, and it is time to go ahead and get you admitted to the birth center and prepare for birth. So that gives us, typically you're in here about 20 minutes or so, and so that during that time we can be getting whichever birth suite you're wanting ready, filling tubs, things like that. Getting diffusers turned on and getting the ambiance set up in your room. I really like this triage bed. It's actually a massage table. So typically I'll ask moms what's been the most comfortable position as you've been laboring at home. And so we can either, oftentimes moms will say, you know, standing, leaning over, and we can pile up some pillows. You can do hands and knees here. We can put the birth ball here. But we're just trying to monitor baby on this fetal monitor for about 15 or so minutes, maybe more, maybe less, depending on the situation. Get a set of vital signs for you, mom, and really just kind of see how is your labor going, how have you been doing physically and emotionally, and then kind of go from there. So that's our triage room in a nutshell.
Hi, I'm Janet, one of the midwives here at Atlanta Birth Center. I'd like to welcome you to IRF, one of our birth suites. This is birth suite 2. Each room has a little bit of a different personality, but they have a lot of the same features. Every room has a birth pool and some beautiful lighting and an oil diffuser and a refrigerator and a personal bathroom, a shower. Queen-sized bed, so I hope that you can get a little view into what the IRF room looks like, and we look forward to seeing you here.
Hi, I'm Stacey. I'm one of the full-time midwives at Atlanta Birth Center, and just part of the tour to show you guys all the spaces, as you can't see them in person due to COVID, but I'm currently in Birth Suite Fire. All of them have a little bit different themes, but a lot of the same amenities. So all of our birth suites have birthing tubs, queen-size beds, bassinets for babies, personal bathrooms with showers, diffusers, birthing balls, twinkly lights, all just to make the transition from home to the birth center as comfortable as possible. This space particularly is very special to me as I welcomed my second daughter in the fire room. We hope that you find one that really resonates with you for you to welcome your baby into.
Hi everyone, I'm Shannon Healy, one of the certified nurse midwives with Atlanta Birth Center, and welcome to the water room. As you can see, it has a lot of similarities to the fire and earth room in terms of the big beds, the tub, the room to move around and be mobile, and the different personal accommodations around the room, such as the mini fridges where you can keep some of your own food, the big showers that also fit a birth ball. One unique thing about this room I like to point out is the four-post bed in here, which a lot of our families like to have to either lean on during labor or to be able to use to support them during some squats and some other positions.
But other than that kind of unique feature, you can just see it's a little bit of a different atmosphere, but otherwise all the same medical accommodations that we might need and the different comfort accommodations.
Welcome to the Birth Center.
Welcome to the Birth Center. Thanks again for your interest in Atlanta Birth Center. Bye.
All right. Any questions, comments? We welcome your comments and questions. This is the future, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, brothers and sisters. This is the future. Why do I say that? Because hospitals have become businesses. And if you know any history about women and pregnancy and reproduction, I may have the hospitals took over midwife jobs because what do you guess why they took over the jobs of midwives and doulas and home births? Why would they want to do that? Why would they want to interfere with something that's been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years? And even on the plantation, there's always been midwives and doulas, especially in the South. Black women had those roles predominantly. And hospitals, medical institutions, big pharma comes in and they see ways to make some money. So that's why I say this, what you just seen and heard, is the future. I am just so blessed to have Jenny Joseph in my life. And one day I was thinking I'd love to study to be a midwife. But it's a lot of work, a lot of time. And she's doing a great job. But for those of you who are not sure what you want to do with your life, perhaps you'd like to study to be a midwife or even a doula. Or let's say you got a lot of money, you inherited a lot of money, and in your city, the hospitals, the birthing places are closing down, changing whatever. How about you starting a birthing center? What do you need? You need midwives. You don't have any, start training women and men. College students, start recruiting college students to not go into these crazy subjects where they're going to be waiting on tables in college, but possibly find the scholarship for doula school, doula training. This is the future. This is what we want to see happening in our future. And recycling the garbage, the trash, or you might say recycling the traditions that are not working, man's traditions. So I thought I saw a caller, but we'll come back. If you have a question or comment, please press 1 in the studio, and feel free to comment on Facebook. We're going to take a commercial break. I do have a commercial somewhere in here. Let's see. I'll just try all hopes. Here we go. We're going to take a commercial break. We'll be right back. Press 1 if you have a comment. Or if you want to ask a question, what are you feeling about this? Are you familiar with moon cycle consciousness, looking at the moon to determine whether a woman is fertile or ovulating? That's what we want to promote tonight, is women of reproductive age becoming more aware and conscious to control their body, have sovereignty, and getting out of what Jenny calls maternal toxic zones. And we'll talk about that also when we come back.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
All right, we're back again. We want to keep going with the recycling and moon cycle consciousness. I think this is so important, and it's a gift from heaven to talk about our future in this way, where we are not depending on man. Okay, we're going to play different commercials next break. So we're not depending on man to provide the support that women need when they become pregnant. We can, it's time for us to depend on our community, our relatives, our friends, our sisters, because the garbage that stinks right now is the hospital system. The whole hospital system let us down during Corona, COVID, and now it's time to rethink the dependence we've had on hospitals. Now, don't get me wrong. Emergency rooms are great at what they do. If you have an acute situation and you can't handle it, go to the emergency room. They are usually very experienced, talented, beautiful souls working in the emergency room. And they do, most of them I've seen, they do great jobs of getting you repaired, back into circulation, out of the hospital, or you may have to be admitted, but let's not stay too long, because they have what's called palliative care that can take you out of here quicker than you know. So let's just think about avoiding hospitals, especially when it comes to bringing forth new life. This is not a medical condition. That's the misunderstanding, the kind of the stinky garbage, is that we have been trained, programmed, traditionally thinking that a woman's consequence of having sex and the process of a new child or a new baby growing is a medical condition. It really isn't. It's just moon cycle consciousness has to kick in, and we are on a rhythm. All women are on a rhythm in their early years so that we can all participate in more sovereignty now. We can all choose to take back our power, women especially, but also the men. Take back your power as the father or as the grandfather or the best friend, whoever. It's time for us to take control and get out of what Jenny calls maternal toxic zones. And maternal toxic zones are basically what I would call unconscious environments. Unconscious environments, meaning you have lots of energy surrounding you that's creating stress, lots of energy creating tension, anxiety. That's an unconscious, toxic maternal zone. And so becoming moon cycle consciousness, let's just say a woman wants to have a baby, but she's not really sure. So just start charting your moon cycle, your menstrual cycle. Or if a woman's not sure, I don't want to have a baby right now, start charting your moon cycle anyway, just to test the waters. If you're sexually active and you don't want to have a baby, you need to have a moon cycle. Birth control pills, all these drugs that they're suggesting for women, and the day after pill, the night after pill, whatever they're calling it, that's going to become more popular because of the changes in the lower Supreme Court. The higher Supreme Court is still encouraging us, wanting us to get into moon cycle, listen to your body, chart your body's rhythms and cycles. So I want to play for you now a meeting that Jenny Joseph had with the National Perinatal Task Force. So many people several women participating to bring the knowledge and information that we need. And this is what Jenny talked about, that it's important we have the knowledge to know your body. And these people in this conference call are outlining what exactly is needed, for us to have this knowledge and wisdom. So this is Common Sense, Jenny Joseph sponsoring or hosting a National Perinatal Task Force so that we can all be of the mind to know the process involved in bringing the corrections needed to help us all be more mindful and studying and bringing in this moon cycle consciousness.
Well, good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. This is another broadcast from Common Sense Childbirth on behalf of the National Perinatal Task Force. I'm thrilled that you're here. Thanks very much for taking the time. This will be recorded for you to be able to enjoy later if you're unable to join us live. I am very excited tonight. We have a great panel. I have the pleasure of introducing to you Connie Livingston from the International Childbirth Education Association, ICEA. And welcome, Connie. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me, Jenny.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm very excited. I also have Diane Zimmerman, who is a childbirth educator and a very dear friend. And Diane is joining us tonight from Tennessee.
Yes.
Oh. From Nashville. And, of course, Kathy Bradley, who is always here and working with us. We hang together. We do what we can do for Common Sense Childbirth. And as we develop this new model, a new product, we're calling it the National Perinatal Task Force. Our goal with this task force is to reach women around the country, women and men, who are interested in supporting change. We're ready for change, aren't we, Kathy?
Yes, ma'am, we are. Here, present, and ready.
Okay. So tonight, we're going to talk a little bit around some of the questions that have come forward, but one of the particular topics that I want to cover tonight is, what is a perinatal safe spot and how can people help us in getting the safe spot up and running? It's been a very, many questions have come. So many people want to help. I'm so excited about the numbers. We've seen women people from around the country just asking, what can I do? I'm ready. I want to do something. I want to see this change. It's been too long that we've had these outcomes. So one of the most important things to recommend, to realize, is that when we are talking about a safe spot, we're talking about a specific area that is at risk for poor birth outcomes. Sometimes what we see is that we've got people who are in an area that just because they live there, they're not safe. It's not safe for them to be pregnant. It's not safe for them to be breastfeeding. It's not safe for them to be parenting. And so the maternotoxic areas, we are specifically targeting those areas and trying to make sure that we get help into those areas. Okay? So keep that in mind when we say perinatal safe spot. We're not talking about putting a safe spot in an area that already has resources. We know every woman in every stage of their pregnancy or postpartum needs help. We admit that. This is America. Let's just call it what it is. But we have to make a specific targeted efforts to the areas where we know, regardless, these efforts that we have made thus far have not changed these outcomes. Certainly in the last couple of decades, they in some cases have gotten worse. So I want to start with Connie, because Connie, the minute we had this idea, we put it forth, put it out into the public domain, Connie was one of the first people that jumped right in. I want to help. This makes sense to me. What can we do? Connie, tell us a little bit about your organization, what you're already doing, and what you think you'd like to see happen, or how we can partner to work on this issue.
The International Childbirth Education Association is an organization that's been around. Next year we'll be celebrating 55 years, and we have been spreading childbirth education throughout the country and throughout other parts of the world. Obviously, the name is international. What I see our job and our work with the National Perinatal Task Force is to better raise awareness of how, not just the racial disparities, but how we can actually solve these problems and work with you and the things that you have done that have actually worked. And on a larger scale, we not only raise awareness, but also maybe a conduit for some of the information that you want to pass along, and then eventually maybe assist you with trainings too, because our reach is so far.
I think you hit some salient points. I mean, one of the most important things right now is that we work on things that are going to work. Practical, doable, achievable things for people to do so that even if it comes down to one-on-one, that's how it happens. That's how we manage to get something achieved. But as long as it's getting a result, like we're coming out the other end with a change in the outcome. And so I think that, you know, recognizing that from an agency perspective is powerful because then it charges your members to look at this from a different way and see how can we essentially come outside the box? How can we charge them as well as support them, maybe in some cases train them, to do the achievable and to make the change? Okay, Diane, can you speak a little bit about your approach? Because you're also a child birth educator. You're, you know, you work inside of this environment, in this world, but you don't actually live in a perinatal, you don't live in a maternal toxic zone, right?
That's right. I don't. And when I did some of my work with you there in Winter Garden, you know, my area of Winter Garden wasn't the maternal toxic zone, but I got to see firsthand the difference that we made, even just being with someone one-on-one. So I came up with 50 different ways that you can be an ambassador for perinatal safe spots that you can do without any training, you can do with very little money. All it takes is a caring heart and some time in most cases.
Well, and I have to thank you for that. Those of you who have been following along with us, this is our third Google Hangout at this juncture. And we do now have a website up and running. So this is like a really, really big deal. I'm excited to have that because we've always felt like we could keep all of our information about our different programs in one site. But this one needed a specific own website. And it's up now, and you can see this website at www.perinataltaskforce, real simple, perinataltaskforce.com. And on that website, you will be able to see the tab, which is labeled 50 ways you can be of help. And Diane was instrumental in helping us put that together. And I think that her experience was really key, because what we wanted to make sure was that we got across that this doesn't have to be very convoluted or difficult. You could just choose one thing. You don't have to do a whole slew of things. We're hoping that people that have a job already, that have responsibilities already, that are up to their eyes with their own family, that they would find, there's one thing on this list that appeals to me, that is doable in my world, that I can do anyway without creating big ruckus in my life, but I can be effective with it. So that was really important. You know, you mentioned, Diane, that you worked inside of an environment where the women that were coming from these high-risk areas were coming for prenatal care here at our clinic, mm-hmm. and that was your opportunity to connect with those women. But Kathy, can you talk a little bit about how, when you cannot reach those women directly, how you can be of service and support this work? Because, again, our goal is to get to the outcome. How do we get that mother and baby to term? How do we encourage the breastfeeding? How do we support the continuation of the breastfeeding? When you aren't able to get in front of that woman because you don't live in that area, you don't want to go into that area necessarily, you maybe don't feel comfortable going in, how can you get this done? What do you say, Kathy?
Well, I think that each person, you know, knowing where they live, what the surrounding areas are, knowing that there's a problem, I'm going to keep going back to that because those of us that work in the toxic zones, some of us may know this problem actually exists. Many of you who've listened to our Google Hangouts before are aware that I've worked alongside Jenny back and forth for 18 years, and it wasn't until probably 5 years ago did I really grasp what the situation was. And I worked at a hospital in the maternal education department and where a lot of this was going on. We have a high population that suffers in the disparities piece. So I see people coming into the task force, they may not be living in an immediate toxic zone. Knowing the problem exists, first of all, the recognition. Recognizing and be willing to accept that, yes, here in the U.S., we are losing moms and babies more than 59 other countries. So
I think I want to put this there, Kathy, for a quick second, because I just want to point out something. We had invited Darlene Turner onto the call, and she wasn't able to make it tonight. But one of the reasons I invited Darlene was that the main reason that we have she had an experience where she – oh, she's on. Hang on. Let me see if I can get Darlene to come in. No, I don't see how to – okay. The one of the reasons that Darlene really touched my heart was very soon after we launched the perinatal task force, she reported in of a young mother in her neighborhood, a woman that she knew, who died postpartum in the ER from a high blood pressure postpartum. An African-American woman who, I'm not sure how many weeks postpartum she was, just a couple of weeks postpartum, and she actually died, leaving behind a newborn and a toddler. There's ways that you can get this information across. There's things that you can read. You can research online. You can go to your health department. You can ask your healthy thoughts. You can Google. This information's out there. But when it comes right in your neighborhood, right close to you like that, when it hits you directly, there isn't any way that you could possibly understand and justify that this is happening all the time. So every day, at least two women are dying in this country, which compared to some undeveloped, under-resourced countries, that's not bad at all, is it? But on the other hand, you've got to understand that inside of the amount of money we're spending on medical care, particularly obstetrical medical care, the amount of shenanigans that goes on inside of that care, the disparate ways that women are treated from a socioeconomic to a racial discrimination is a matter of life and death. And when you get that and you feel that and it hits you in your heart, in your spirit, it overwhelms you emotionally, then you get to a point where you realize, how can we just stand by? We can no longer just stand by when we know that we've got this situation going on and we have simple things that can make that difference. So right now on the panel, everybody's a childbirth educator. If those women aren't coming into your class, how do you reach them? So Connie, like with your organization, and you guys have such an amazing reach because you're such a vast network of educators and students. What do you think we can do as far as getting this information not only to the educators, but then from the educators to people who aren't necessarily coming into their class?
I think one of the things that we have to do is make sure that what we're teaching is on their own level, that they can actually understand what we're teaching them. And then empower some of them to become educators and do peer-to-peer education. It would be very awkward for me, for instance, to go in and try to hold a childbirth education class in our downtown area. It would be very difficult because I don't think anybody would attend. But if there was someone of their own, they knew, somebody that they respected that was also working and teaching and sharing this information, I think it would be very well accepted.
I agree. There's a dearth of educators of color, educators who are very familiar, who are very culturally competent. And it's not just women of color that are in jeopardy. Poor women across all races are in jeopardy because they are also disenfranchised and cut out of the access to quality care. And subsequently, they are not getting the opportunity to train in education, in doula work, even in medical professions in a way that's meaningful. So it's a big undertaking, but I think it's doable. And I think it comes from a recognition that we need to support a pipeline, if you will, into professions that address these deep entrenched issues in the perinatal spectrum. So if we had a woman who had a really powerful birth experience because she happened to have a doula, maybe a friend of the family or someone from church, she may be interested in that work, but wouldn't have any access other than to have to do a scholarship.
We're going to pause here and take a commercial break. So let me open up. Naima Latif is going to play for us.
Unmuted.
The commercials for this half hour. So thank you for listening. I hope you're learning and really getting excited about what we can do to help women who are in their reproductive years. So Naima, your mic's open. Take it away.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
What happens when a group of people are kidnapped from their homes, smuggled away in chains, and held captive in a foreign land where they are tortured, raped, and forced to perform hard labor by the lash of a whip and under the constant threat of death? Slavery, the African-American psychic trauma. What happened to the doctors, writers, scientists, builders, educators, and spiritual leaders from Africa's golden age? Who did they really capture and sell into slavery? Are all African Americans suffering from psychic trauma because of a conspiracy to hide their true identities? Do you have psychic trauma? Take the test on page 22 of the book and see. Order it online today at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. And get your personally autographed copy of the book, Slavery, the African American Psychic Trauma.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday...
Body, water my blood, air my breath, and fire my spirit.
And I think we're done with commercials. So if you're just joining us,
muted.
We're talking about recycling the garbage, the trash of tradition that has kept women in bondage. Yes, kept them in bondage about the choice of natural moon cycling consciousness. We've had too many women walking around in ignorance about the choices, the real divine, supreme, higher Supreme Court choices that are offered to us on this planet. And Jenny Joseph is leading a task force that we'll continue with that is pointing out the need that we have to recognize, number one, maternal toxic zones. We've had too many maternal toxic zones on the planet, and we are at a great, great time to eliminate those with this moon cycle consciousness that helps us recognize, especially women who are in reproductive years, that the moon and the moon, the mirror of the moon and here, the cycles of blood in flowing and the cycle of the moon waxing and waning are offering us, women and all humans, a chance to raise our consciousness and connect to the cosmic forces, the cosmic energy. And Jenny Joseph is a woman I have worked with who is a midwife who teaches the most higher learning principles about maternal toxic zones, but she named four areas that are very important for us if we're going to work with our own communities, and that is access to safety and quality, connection to comfortable situations, environments, knowledge, especially knowing your body, and power, empowerment. Helping women to be empowered once again, and reducing the maternal mortality, reaching men and women who want to change. These principles are being laid out for us tonight for men and women who are ready to make changes in the system, to make changes to get out of the medical hospital system that has kept many women from receiving the quality care they need. And we showed a tour of an Atlanta birthing center, and Jenny has talked about her birthing center. So let's go back. I want to go back to this task force that they're having, because they're sharing a lot of good information that we should be taking advantage of. Okay, let's go back. And we should be absorbing and utilizing.
There's some extra conditions that allow that she might be able to get in childcare during the training, things like this. So it's really key, and I so appreciate your recognition of that and how it's going to make that difference. Because without that, we'll never bridge the gap. I don't see how we'll get past it. Yeah. I tried to get Darlene to join. I'm not sure if she's able to.
She says she's ready to. She's sending a message.
Okay, very good. All right. So Diane, pick one of the 50 ways that you mentioned on your list, and let's discuss that, because I think people need practical answers. They want to know, okay, but I'm in this situation, what can I do? And if you do have a question, if you're listening and you'd like to send a question in, you can now send a question through the Q&A on the actual Hangout. Let me see. If you can see the Q&A, you can type directly into it, and we can see your question. Alternatively, you can go to our Facebook page, Harry Nagle Task Force, and you can private message, and we have someone there to pick up your message, and she will send it to us on the Hangout, and we'll try to answer your question. So, go ahead and, Diane, what have you got? Have you got a question for us or a pointer?
Yes. Well, I think to your point of, you know, maybe getting peers or community members trained or able to really connect with the women and empower them, I think that is the ideal situation because the women who are in the community already know what the barriers to care are. They know what the practical physical needs are, and they can help the women navigate through, you know, those needs. And so I think one of the things that we could do outside of the zone would be either to provide money for a scholarship to bring a training to the area, or we could offer virtual education or doula support. Right now, one of my roles is I am the doula to the National Perinatal Task Force.
Yes, you are.
So, as a doula, you want to have your hands on the belly and rubbing the back. And sometimes I think there's just so many other ways that we can hold space and intention and help support. Help support these things. So I think offering to attend a community board meeting that's at the Healthy Start Clinic or something where we can, you know, say this perinatal safe spot is being set up right now. So those kinds of things that we can do, either time-wise, offer our time to stand in, or financially support trainings, those sorts of things.
I think one of the easiest of all is, and we have many doulas who have joined the task force, and many those are in training as doulas or are experienced doulas. One of the most relevant things that any doula could offer would be to mentor,
mm-hmm.
to be available.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes that's the hardest thing. It's such a lonely road doing this kind of work. And to be able to talk to someone else who's going through what you're doing and understand you in a way that maybe someone else doesn't get it, that's invaluable. And that's simply being willing to have the phone or the text, you know, receive a call, have a question answered. And so, you know, again, there isn't any specific prescribed way for you to be of help. But I think it's so important that as supporters on the periphery, supporters in the virtual world, supporters in the social media world, all of those ways can help bring awareness to the problem, bring direct practical support to the people on the ground, and not wear any one of us out. Like, wouldn't it be marvelous if we literally achieved the revolution, like we literally achieved the perinatal revolution, that we changed the point on the disparity on those graphs and on those reports, that we dropped those points down simply by doing like this stuff en masse. Like, how intangible is that? Like, you really can't measure it because it is so individual. It's so strategic according to where you are, what bit you're close to, what resources you have or don't have, who you know. Mm-hmm. I sometimes have these daydreams about people. What if your brother-in-law sits on the board for March of Dimes? Like, what? It could happen, right? That all you need to do is to get hold of him and get him to understand where you're coming from and why. And that in and of itself could be such a shift. So, Kathy, I see you chomping at the bit there. What's going on?
Well, the thing is, you know, when I think of myself becoming an educator so many years ago and training under ICEA, and I know Diane, her background when she moved from Colorado here to Florida and ultimately ended up working with us, I think we have to be willing to change our mindset about what education looks like. a lot of us traditionally want to set up a classroom, want all of our people to file in, we want to have the partners present, and we want to have this nice class where we can get an evaluation and they can get a certificate. And yes, we really have to let go of what that traditionally looks like and look at, we're getting our nails done, right? Yeah, I'm sitting there getting a pedicure, manicure, and somebody's pregnant sitting next to me. I need to know how to take her and ask her, this may sound like a really weird question, but what's your greatest concern or fear going into having this baby? And then give her tips, however it is. Are you getting feedback on me?
Yes, we are. We are.
That's really odd. I'm not sure what to do about that.
Okay, well, you make some really great points, Catherine. One of the things that I think is key is that we thought about to do this talking. We actually called up a Connie at a hospital doing a presentation.
And after, this may sound like a really weird question, but what's the biggest concern here going in and having this baby? And then,
and I apologize. Not sure if you guys are hearing this clearly. I'm going to see if I can bring Darlene in because I see that she's joined us. And let's see if we can manage. So here we go. Darlene, hi, welcome. Can you hear us? Okay, let's see. I've got to take off her. Literally on bed rest in an attempt to get themselves to full term. So if we do figure out how to have her join in, we will. And in the meantime, Mama's on bed rest, and you can find her at Mama's on bed rest.
Okay, she's unmuted at this point, but she's listening to an old bed, catching that old.
She has some really great resources, and she's found a way to reach women all around, probably around the world. I'm sure not just around the country. And again, a creative. I'm putting her on mute because it's the feedback that we can't manage. So I apologize, Darlene. I'm sorry I can't get you on tonight, but thank you for joining in. So we'll just go ahead and just finish around the main points of the conversation. So what I'd like to just address before we finish out this hangout tonight is, again, the resources and support for the supporters. These are the things that we want to keep talking around, because it's getting the supporters the ways, it's getting them the tools to do more effective support. So essentially, because it's the feedback that we can't manage. So I apologize, Darlene. I'm sorry I can't get you on tonight, but thank you for joining in. So we'll just go ahead and just finish around the main points of the conversation. So what I'd like to just address before we finish out this. Okay. All right. So, as I was saying, we basically need to finish around coming back to the main point, which is that the purpose of the National Perinatal Task Force is to support the supporters. We want to see the change in the outcomes for women who are in maternal toxic zones, who are having difficulties achieving full-term healthy pregnancies, having difficulty with postpartum support and breastfeeding support. And we know that we can impact these statistics by getting more active and practical help where women are and by women who look like them. The purpose of tonight's task force meeting was to just illustrate to those of you that are not those women, are not living with those women or adjacent to those women, but want to help anyway. With that in mind, I really wanted to highlight that organizations such as ICEA, who have come forward and said, we're here, we want to help, we're ready, know that we can impact these statistics by getting more active and practical. Okay, so given the troubles that we're having, and I do apologize, I'm going to go ahead and finish out the hangout so that we can take any questions that you have and send them please to the Facebook page, to the direct message, the private message section of the Facebook page. The Facebook page is Perinatal Task Force, all right? We will answer your questions directly through the private message chat,
And I apologize again for the technical difficulties that we're having tonight, but I think it's too hard to continue the conversation like that. So I want to acknowledge you, Connie, for coming on board. We had Connie Livingston come on board from the ICEA and has made a strong commitment to supporting this effort. Thank you, Diane Zimmerman, for coming on, and you were able to help us with that wonderful start with the 50 ways that you can get going and be an ambassador for the Perinatal Task Force. Thank you, Kathy, as usual, for being here to help us to present this information. And behind the scenes, thank you, Stephanie, for helping us with the technical things that you do. And I'd like you guys to keep watching on the Facebook. We have the Twitter. We have the Facebook. And we are going to...
Okay, they're having so many difficulties that we're going to end that video. I know that was a lot of information, so thank you for being patient and taking it all in, I hope, because I have so much respect for Jenny Joseph and what she's doing in this Orlando area that I'm hoping and praying that her love and wisdom spreads throughout the country, if not the world. She was voted, I think, one of the Women of the Year. She's on a magazine cover this year, Women of the Year. And just an amazing soul doing so much that I really have a lot of respect for her. And I believe that is the solution to the garbage we've been hearing this week and the traditional mind manipulation that we've been getting this week. That somehow, because this lower Supreme Court made a decision that somehow women, young women, reproductive age women, will have fewer rights than their mothers and grandmothers. My granddaughter is only 8 years old. And please, if you have a comment or a question, press 1 if you want to join the conversation. Because I'd really like to hear what your thoughts are about this lower Supreme Court suggesting with their garbage talk that somehow women have fewer rights now. They have the same choices and rights, the supreme sovereign rights that they were born with. They haven't lost them. We've just been mind manipulated to think we don't have rights. But now we're taking back our power. If you're on board, we're taking back our power, proclaiming our sovereignty to have the same rights we were born with, and the choices you have in your immediate area might be limited, because now if a woman has sex and becomes pregnant with energy, life force of a soul growing in her womb, she won't be able to choose as easily in her state maybe to stop that process is what I would call it. So we want to bring about in every community, this is my goal, with the events taking place on the Earth drama stage, my goal is to enhance develop the philosophy of Jenny Joseph's Childbirth Center. Everywhere, if possible, on this platform, on my health and well-being platform, develop the principles of access to safety and quality wherever you are. We may become a resource. Connecting you. My sister, Mama AZ, is expert at connecting, and that's what I love about her. And then knowledge, knowing your body, that's my focus on Friday, health and well-being, is to know your body. And then knowledge and empowerment. So we have a caller. I'm going to open up the mic and get some comments. So please press 1 if you have a comment. 434-996, your mic is open. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. I am against telling, you know, people, you know, what they can do with their bodies. It's also not only just a right, but also it's also a way where, you know, what if they can't take care of the child, you know? you also have to look at that too. And that's also what the U.S. government has to look at before they make laws like that.
Okay. So what's your solution?
My solution is don't do abortion bans, or if you're going to do them, which I'm against abortion bans, then at least help the parents with the kids, you know. And don't be against things like health care and, you know, child care and things like that, or kids' rights and things like that. Don't be against all that stuff and then claim that you are pro-life.
Okay, and may I have your name?
Khalil.
Khalil?
Yep.
And where do you live, Khalil?
Charlottesville, Virginia.
Oh, well, welcome. It's pretty far up there, north. Charlottesville. Now, are you, have you ever been, are you a father, or do you have, are you married?
No, but I see right through a lot of the so-called religious arguments when it comes to a lot of things. Matter of fact, there was this woman in Richmond, Virginia. She claimed that she claims she's pro-life, but she's against the health care bill.
What health care bill?
She was against Obama. She was against the Affordable Health Care Act, but then she claimed that she was pro-life.
Okay, so we're not here to take sides tonight. We're here to promote knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, and help women take back their power and not feel like
right. They've
lost anything as a result of these Supreme Court issues or statements. Because the truth is Obamacare and any other sick care legislation promotes drugs by Big Pharma, medical procedures like cutting out things, burning out things, and poisoning people with drugs. So when we could talk about that all day as far as what the current sick care system has to offer. If you don't know anything else about the sick care system, then the last 2 years should have taught you exactly what the agenda is for the sick care system, Obamacare, you can call it whatever you want. It's a sick care. They promote sickness. Hospitals are in business to make money. They're not in business to get people well. So we're talking solutions here. That's all we're here is to offer women solutions.
Right.
We're not saying anything is right, wrong, good, or bad, because we're on Soul Purpose Healing. We're all about helping people move out of the thick third-dimensional fear, war, anxiety into fourth dimension, where we learn lessons and we move forward after we learn the lesson.
Right.
And we support
one
another. And we have more community activity versus national, federal, warmongering, psychopathic government activity dependent. You get my drift?
Right. Yeah, I do. And I do have a solution.
Okay,
you know,
go ahead.
Just, you know, to the abortion thing, you mean? Because I do have
whatever
a solution to that.
I mean, that's what we're talking about, recycling the trash, the tradition of sick care system and all the other medical lies that we've had into moon cycle consciousness, which includes women being more aware of their bodies and when they are ready to have children, they can monitor that by the moon, their menstruals and all that.
Right. We do need to help them with that. Like, because, I mean, like, I'm not, I don't agree with the Roe v. Wade, you know, banning stuff like that. I believe that women should have rights. And I believe that.
Can I ask how old are you, Khalil?
32.
Okay. The rights haven't been taken away. That's my point tonight. Women still have rights. They're sovereign rights given to us at birth. And we have had those rights taken away slowly and more, especially the last 2 years with a government that wants to control us and tell us what to do. We're not saying women should not have the choice. They're going to still have choices, but they're going to may have to go to another state now if they want to ease the process. So it's all okay. We're here to lift people up, challenge them to be better citizens, and to honor their bodies when they do have become pregnant. And then we want to offer solutions to help women honor their bodies by supporting them, because a lot of women don't want to continue the process of pregnancy because they don't have the support and they don't have the money. But we're suggesting that we develop community organizations called birthing centers where we offer women whatever they need based on the community that they live in, get scholarships, get donations, whatever we need to support them. We're going to do that in community-oriented birthing centers. That way they don't have to depend on, and we can prevent even the need for abortion. So you got that?
Yeah, I'm good. And I respect that. I really respect that.
All right, then. Great. Thank you, Khalil, for tuning in. I'm glad we have a man's voice tonight, because we think men are just as much responsible for ending the maternal toxic zones and the ignorance that we have all had to deal with in the last century, if not longer. And women are no longer needing to sit back and be fat, happy, and pregnant without a voice. That's history. So we have to take our last break. And if you have a question or comment, please press 1. We want to hear from you about whether women have lost their rights. Is that true in your mind? Or if they still have rights and choices? So Naima Latif is going to play our last commercials, okay? Thank you for joining us. Stay, stick and stay. Don't go away.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 7-7 community. Let's rebuild.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 community.
Okay, I
our
think
kids are the future
it.
And should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
muted.
All right, we are back. Thank you for joining us. And if you're just joining us, welcome. And our topic tonight, recycling the garbage, is about waking up to the trash, the misinformation, the programming, the traditions that have created in the mind of many men and women that somehow our rights are taken away from us when the lower Supreme Court makes a decision. And I mean lower in terms of earth versus cosmic Supreme Court energy, divine healing, divine word, divine energy. And so moon cycle consciousness is what we're promoting tonight, that both men and women begin to connect to their cosmic power, their cosmic source, mirroring the moon energy, the moon cycle that women are going through every month when they are in reproductive years. So this is an exciting time for all of us if you're conscious. If you're unconscious, you might be suffering a little more in many areas because the awareness that we mirror the moon, the sun, the stars. In fact, the word start was brought up in a post someone made on Instagram, how we are stars and we started in the star seed of light atmosphere and we were sent into the womb of women to begin this earth journey. And we come into this womb and the divine energy, the powerful great energy that puts two ears, two eyes and brain, when you think about the sacredness of this body and the whole process of bringing together a baby in the mother's womb, that's a sacred event, sacred process. So we're all walking around in sacred temples and we forget. The garbage sets in and now we're at a point of recycling all that energy that came forth. And as Jenny Joseph, our midwife who spoke this evening on YouTube, points out, all over America, especially America, we have one of the worst maternal mortality rates on the planet in America with this great sick care system, right? And this great business operating as, quote, hospitals, which is where the garbage, the smelly started. The smelliness, the odor started when we moved the women from doulas and midwives in the home, helping women give birth to the hospitals with all the drugs and all the other equipment that takes away from the beauty of bringing new life out into the earth's atmosphere. So we're encouraging you now to get on your moon cycle consciousness. Start paying attention, women who are in reproductive years, and we can help women do this. I know Maika is one who has talked about this many times. And I believe she even practiced it in her own reproductive years, that a woman can look at a calendar, mark off the days when she has her menstrual, and then she knows when she's fertile and she's able to conceive. If she looks at that calendar, certain days after the menstrual cycle where she is most fertile. And so you give yourself like 2 days after and 2 days before that period of time where you're fertile. And if you don't want a baby, don't perform sex with anyone or don't come together with anyone. But if you're looking to have a child, that is the period of time in the woman's menstrual calendar where she's most likely to conceive. And that's, we want to promote that idea that instead of thinking that you have lost your rights, women, instead of thinking that somehow your choices are limited, start connecting to the divine right you've always had, the sovereign right you've always had to be this powerful birthing goddess, to bring forth new life. And we want to support you. I'm a grandmother. I want to support all the women in my community, in my life, who are willing and ready to have that experience of a new birth, new process, new pregnancy. That's what I'm here for. That's what many of us are rising up and ready and preparing ourselves. I'm a doula. A doula is simply a man or a woman. Man or a woman. It's not just a woman. Man or a woman who offers support to a woman who becomes pregnant. And that doula can be hired by the pregnant woman and her family and her husband and all that to support her in her journey as this baby is growing inside of her. And not just while she's pregnant for 9 months, but a doula is there to support her after the birth as well. And as long as that woman needs that support and she's willing to pay for it or not, some doulas make arrangements with the mother and the family to stay on even months after that baby just to offer the support of breastfeeding and so on. So there's so many ways that the community that you live in can offer support. And I'm urging those of you who have come into excess funds to look at your community and see if there's a need for a birthing center. There are lots of helpful tools available to start that birthing center and to educate the doulas and the support team that you need. I'm betting there are a lot of nurses who are tired of working in the hospital environment, and they might be just the people you can recruit to get out of that hospital environment and start a new birthing center where the atmosphere is a lot more peaceful, calm, and productive and supportive of having a beautiful birth. Now, I want to just give a little bit of clinic or psychological advice for the women out there who are struggling when it comes to making adjustments. My dad's favorite class when he was in college was called The Psychology of Adjustment. I think all of us can benefit from this two-minute audio about the psychology of adjustments and how it can help us no matter what the situation is. So let's just listen for a minute to the site. What is the psychology of adjustments, and how can you apply that to every situation where you might find yourself stressed, fearful, anxious? Let's just take some advice.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sue Hunter, and I'm a mentor here at Cal Southern University. This is the introduction to Psychology 2410. It's a psychology of adjustment. In this class, you're going to look at yourself more than other people. We have a theory in psychology, and that is you got to know yourself before you can know your clients and your patients. So before you can help others, you got to help yourself. You got to make sure yourself is balanced and that you have good mental health. So in this course, we're going to look at things that stress you out. We're going to look at your love skills and how you were raised and how you adjust to new things in life. So what stresses you out in life? Maybe bad drivers, maybe work. To get rid of your stress, what do you do? That's one of the things we're going to look at, is how do you deal with stress yourself? There's two types of stress. There's good stress and there's bad stress. We have to have stress in our life to survive. So some of you that think that all the stress is bad, that's not necessarily true. A lot of the stress is good stress, and that helps us give thrive to what we want to do in life. The other topic we're going to look at is intimacy and love. We're going to look at patterns that your parents taught you in the home. As you grew up as a child, how did you see your parents interact with each other? This might not seem like a big part of psychology of adjustment, but to become who you are, you had to see examples. So the way you love and the way you interact with people is a result from how your parents loved and how they interacted. And some of you came from a single parent home. That's okay. You still learned love skills. It didn't have to be a two-parent home. I think you're really going to enjoy this course. You're going to learn a lot about yourself, and you're going to learn a lot about others. To be able to help your patients, you first have to be able to help yourself. I look forward to meeting you and working with you in this class.
Now, if there aren't any questions or comments, I hope you take this psychology of adjustments with you tonight and apply it to every situation where you find yourself in stress. And that is one of the key areas we want to help mothers reduce or eliminate in their journey, because that's one of the reasons they choose abortions. It's because of the stress in their life. They don't think they can handle a baby. They don't think they can carry a baby. They don't have financial whatever. But once that baby, once they make the decision to move forward in that pregnancy, then we have to think about the raising of the children. So the moon cycle consciousness is always continuing, even when a woman is out of reproductive age. And I want to just play a little bit of Dr. Gabor Maté's Protecting Our Children. There's always talk about protecting children in the womb. For people who are pro-life, we got to protect the babies in the womb. Well, let's just focus just a minute on protecting our children who are out of the womb.
Tell me about social media, because my boys aren't there yet, although yeah. they can find their way to a laptop pretty quick, but they're not on social media. But my daughter is, of course. Yeah. Obviously, that peer group now is readily available.
Oh, yeah.
In this new addictive device that's more addictive, I don't know if you would say, than heroin and cocaine.
It's very addictive, yes.
Okay. How does that, is that just up the stakes?
Well, so in our book, Hold On To Your Kids, the last two chapters about the digital media, and it's a huge topic. And I would say if I had boys your kids' age, I would not let them near any device. I will not let them near a device.
That's what I heard that the Silicon Valley CEOs do. I heard that they tell their nannies they're not to see a device. You have to leave it in your car.
That's absolutely right.
Okay, tell me
about it. Not at that age. Because, first of all, the screen themselves are mesmerizing.
Yeah.
And the more time a kid spends, and they're addictive. You try and peel a kid off their device, you see typical addictive protest and outrage.
Yeah, anger.
Anger, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Because you're really coming between the addict and their addiction. And you know you from your own addictive history, or me from mine, what it's like when somebody tries to come between you and your addictive target behavior. You know?
Yeah.
And
bad.
Sorry?
I mean, everything in your fiber of your being says no.
Absolutely.
Right.
Now, so first of all, the screens themselves affect the brain, the developing brain. So the more times a kid spends watching screens, the more it depletes their dopamine receptors. And dopamine receptors are the ones that get implicated in addiction later on, the incentive motivation circuitry of the brain. Number one, the child develops an attachment relationship with the machine. And then as they get older, this is with 1 and 2 or 3 or 4 year olds. So what we say about the digital media is, it's a good thing, but so is sex, and so is alcohol. But we don't give 2 year olds alcohol, and we don't introduce 5 years old to sexual practices. Why? Because they're not ready to handle it. So you give digital media to kids when they're old enough to handle it. When are they old enough to handle it? When they no longer rely on it to meet their emotional needs, but they use it for the function for which it was developed, which is information and communication. Those are legitimate goals. But when kids are immature and their attachment needs have not been met yet, they can use the digital media to meet their attachment needs, which displaces real human attachments. So what happens on Facebook? Kids have friends. What happens on Facebook? Kids like each other. These are attachment dynamics, except the friends are not real friends. Because a real friend is somebody who really knows you intimately and accepts you and supports you and wants the best for you. These Facebook friendships are highly conditional, as shown by the fact that when people displease each other, they defriend each other. And the likes are not real likes, because what is being presented on digital media is a simulacrum of the real self. It's a self-chosen particle of who I really am. That's what shows up on Facebook. And so people like a part of me. But how does that satisfy my need to be accepted and respected and loved for who I really am? It actually...
So I wanted to just play a little bit of that to remind us all that even the mother, the adult mother and father, have a need to be healthy when it's time to produce a baby in the womb. And as Dr. Gabor points out, that our attachment to these things, plus being aware of our children's attachments to things and the addictions that many people deal with, needs to be dealt with and healed. We've got a caller. I want to get a caller in before we go. We only have a few minutes. I'm glad you raised your hand. 708-602, your mic's open.
Greetings, family. How you doing?
Greetings.
This is Brother Eddie from Chicago.
Greetings, Brother Eddie. So nice to hear your voice. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
Good.
Yes, just to tie a couple of numbers in and a short story with the numbers dealing with the moon cycle consciousness. The moon cycle consciousness or the moon consciousness deals with the full moon. This is why
right.
all of us now are getting into the full moon. But it's even tied deeper if we want to go back to Africa and deal mm-hmm. with the Nile River. Well, first of all, moon consciousness comes to 85, which is a 4. Full moon comes to 40. The Nile River, Nile is 13, and who was on the Nile River? The Egyptians. Egyptian is 31, the 4. And they worship the moon, full moon, and the sun. Sun being 13 at 4, full moon being 40 to 4. Even Hollywood knew who we were and knew the Egyptians tied to the full moon. Hollywood made a monster movie called The Wolfman. And the Wolfman changed into the Wolf Man because of a gypsy who happens to be the Wolfman bit him. That blood from the gypsy and understanding that gypsy is a traveling Egyptian. This is why in all Hollywood movies it's a darker hue, but it's always white people. Because they never wanted to show who we are. But it's our blood that we're connected to the full moon that we're even returning back to in this age of Aquarius. So, yes, that moon cycle dealing with a woman's menstrual period deals with her truly knowing the full moon cycle and its consciousness. So I just wanted to share that with the family.
Thank you so much. That's a beautiful summary of what we've been talking about. I really appreciate that, Brother Harris. Thank you so much for sharing that. Because we are so empowered these days to know to have this type of knowledge that you're talking about. That's what's going to give us the wealth and security and the protection that we all deserve and need. So I appreciate that so much, and I hope all of you also appreciate that and receive that, the number 4 working in our behalf. And as I said, the number 11 is the 62622 today, which the messengers, the angels are working with us tonight to help all of us gain this knowledge and wisdom and move forward in this coming week and the coming days that are really going to be exciting. If you look at astrology these days, astrology is saying hold on to your hats and put it on because it's going to be an interesting end of the year. We're already halfway through the year. So let's just prepare ourselves and have that moon consciousness where we really connect to the cosmic energy above and inside of us. We are a kingdom, a microcosm inside this masterful advanced communication system just wants to connect to all sources of light in the cosmos as well as of our brothers and sisters. And when that woman decides to have a baby doing her, she likes stuff. So let's just do it. Let's do it. As my brother said in my show, let's get it on, shall we? And we mean spiritual energy exchange on another level. So everybody, please have a good week. Thank you all for joining me this evening. And we're going to say good night, or thank you to all our global family now.
And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you.
Thank you.
To our family in China, xie xie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, jeong kujyo. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy,
Grazie. Egypt. Shukran. Ghana. Madasi. Nigeria. Eshe. South Africa. Ngiyabonga. Senegal. Jerez. Kenya. Asante. Israel. Toda. Pakistan. Shukriya. Afghanistan. Tashakur. Saudi Arabia. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.